T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And in the past few minutes, we have learned Roger Stone. He will go on trial November 5th. Judge Amy Berman Jackson said she didn't wish to waste much time talking about the re-release of a book Stone published in 2017, which could have been considered a violation of his partial gag order. This guy's really, you got to question whether he's playing with a full deck. I mean, seriously. He's just really sticking it to the judge. I mean, why don't you just go in the courtroom and flip her the bird? I mean, if you're that dumb. Any case, this case, trial expected to last 2 weeks. So, what do you do? Let's go out to a call from our last hour, Ralph, wanting to talk about ICE. Good morning, Ralph.
Oh, good morning. How you doing, Vince?
All right, sir.
You know, my main beef is with the police, Charlotte Police Department, CMPD, is about enforcement of laws. You know, the legislature makes the laws and tells the police these are the laws we as the public want enforced. How do they have the right or the ability to determine which laws to enforce or not enforce?
Well, the truth of the matter is that it's not the job of the police department, and they're right about this, to enforce immigration law. Now, my only question is, why do you have to go tell people that? Why does that become your job, to educate people about what you're supposed to enforce? Isn't
well,
this something?
The question then begs, though, is if it is a law and they run across it, they know it's a violation. You know, years ago, I had entertained the idea of going into police work. And one of the questions was, would you be willing to write your mother a ticket for speeding if you witnessed that offense?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I think part of the issue here is, Ralph, this is where this complicated issue comes in with the 287G program, which is not so much a cooperation with police, but with the sheriff's department. You can't enforce a federal law, but the question is, can you and should you detain someone who is breaking a federal law and hold them for federal authorities? I mean, I don't think that's complicated, but apparently some people do think that's complicated. So what do you do, Ralph?
Yeah, it just comes down to basically how do they choose? A law is a law. I don't care whether it's federal or local. All jurisdictions enforce all laws within their jurisdiction, federal or local. So, you know, it's real hard to say, you know, how they can choose. If they want to do it and not say anything, that's fine. But to come out and tell people we're not going to enforce it, they don't have, that's not part of their job.
Yeah, it is kind of bizarre just the way this is being communicated. And I get where they're coming from, Ralph. We don't want them in harm's way at the same time. And I think that's the other concern here, underlying concern in the environment we find ourselves right now. Good morning, Jane. Welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to say that this 287G program, first of all, I talked to a lot of people. Nobody even knew that was on the ballot. The second thing is that was a primary. Only Democrats could vote in it. So the Democratic Party put this in place. Third, the Black Lives Matter and ACLU is the one who sponsored all of this. And another thing is I want to say if this sheriff is endangering lives, the county commission can tell him either to change that law or to fire him. Why
don't
they do that?
Don't hold your breath because they are sympathetic to his views, Jane. They have the same perspective.
They want to endanger all our lives because, and I heard the reason they did this because they were hateful against Mr. Trump. because of his immigration thing. They wanted to stick it to him. Well, they're affecting all our lives, and I think it's disgraceful that the Democrats don't have any. Don't even care about their own lives, much less anybody.
Here's what happens, Jane.
Disgusting.
Here's what happens, Jane. And I hope. Let me put this disclaimer on this. I hope to God we don't have anything that happens with an illegal immigrant on some grand scale, some murder or something like that, somebody who should have been detained or retained by the sheriff's department, where that person goes out and commits a crime. Let me tell you this. I'm going to put this out there. If this happens to anybody in this community, I hope they sue the living crap out of every single one of these public officials. I'm serious.
Amen. Amen.
And I think that ought to happen. I've said this before, and I will say it again. I think that politicians need to be held criminally liable for these kinds of policies. They should not be able to just skate. Jane, I understand your passion. I get it. Fully get it. Let's go out to Belmont and Nancy. Good morning.
Yes, I was holding as you were speaking. I was going, amen, amen.
Well, thank you.
I just called to tell you that I love what you're saying. When I hear these people say that they're going to run for sheriff or whatever else, and they're not going to support the people and our laws and work with state officials, the FBI or whatever, in protecting us as citizens, I can't understand why they're there. I just cannot, and I totally agree when you said that they should be sued or whatever. Bring it on. That'll say, you know, you're the voice of this is the voice of the people speaking.
Yep. And as I appreciate your call there, Nancy. And I'd love to see a broader conversation about this, because this is where, honestly, this is where people get into trouble for following. Okay. And follow with me when I say this. Now, a lot of people who are ticked off about this, this is what happens when you follow personalities. Because I'm willing to bet if I were to sit down, forget about me. If you had ICE, an ICE representative, held a meeting in the community to explain what they do and why this 287G program is so important, I will bet you a significant percentage of Democrats would be in support. But this is not what's happening. What's happening is people are following the politicians rather than the other way around. So what the politicians are doing, they're pandering, because their goal is to look ahead to their future voter base. That's what this is about. I think many voters, even Democrats, would have to step back and say, well, wait a second here. So you mean to tell me you're pandering to these people and making me less safe in the process? I really think if people had the facts in front of them, many of them would draw that conclusion. They would. They would not be in favor of this. Gary, got about 30 seconds here out of Concord.
Yeah, how you doing, Vince?
All right, sir.
To say, why are they not required to report a crime and being an illegal immigrant is a crime, first of all? We as citizens, when we see a crime or know of a crime being committed, there are certain crimes out there, we're required by law to report those crimes. Why are not local police officials required to report crimes that happen on a federal level to federal authorities?
Well, here's part of the thing, and they would raise the question, how do we know this person has committed a crime? And I think, if they are not aware, they can't very well hold somebody. The flip side of this, 287G, you got somebody behind bars, that's another story altogether. Developing story across the nation right now, a tornado reported in western Kentucky. In fact, major damage now reported as a result of this tornado. In fact, the National Weather Service there said a tornado just missed their office in West Paducah, warning people in that area to take shelter. So, no doubt, there will be some more information about this coming out a little bit later on. we're certainly more conscious of this after seeing what happened in Alabama a couple of weeks ago, the death and destruction there. It's that season, folks, and probably just a matter of time before we start to see the possibility of severe weather right here in the Carolinas. So we will want to be alert. Let's go out to Gigi in Gastonia. Good morning.
Hey, Vince, you almost said everything that I was calling in to talk to you about.
Almost. So now you can finish the thought.
I know it. I was like, he stole my thunder. But I was like, you know, about these illegal immigrants, there was an incident, and it was pretty recent. I believe it was in California where this woman, she was up in age, and she was stalked, and she was brutally stabbed and murdered by an illegal immigrant that was deported, had been deported 9 times.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was protected by the sanctuary city policy in California. And right shortly after that, another one, I believe this was in Alabama, he raped a 12-year-old girl, a 12-year-old baby. And they got him in jail. But, I mean, the damage is done now. And that's what I'm saying. These politicians follow the party. They follow what's going to keep them in office, you know, because they know that if they're for illegal immigration, then they're most likely going to vote Democrat. And it's like they're not even thinking about the people that's here in the United States. What about us?
They don't care. Don't care.
They don't care. It just makes me so angry, you know, I'm fed up with it.
Yep, and for good reason. Very good reason. Thanks a lot for your call, Gigi. Do call again, and you can complete my thought for me again. This is what you're looking at here in these ongoing policies of these sanctuary cities. It's lawlessness. That's what it is. And what's really unfortunate about it, it's lawlessness for criminals. But you, we're going to stick it to you. Now, I know it's apples and oranges here. But I was just talking with a friend the other day who got busted in a certain town that will remain nameless here in the area. They were basically running a speed trap is what it amounts to. And it was pretty amazing to me. You know, if we're going to be subject to law, us law-abiding citizens are going to be subject to law, and we're going to be liable, why are we protecting illegal immigrants? Where's our protection? Should not we, the citizens who are paying the freight in this country, where's our exemption and sanctuary from the consequences of the law? Do we get one? I'm just asking. Go out to Lancaster and James. Good morning.
Good morning, Vince. I just wanted to say that I'm kind of with Sheriff McFadden on this getting rid of the 287G, because what he's done, he's opened up a new career path for illegal aliens, so that if they rob a bank and the FBI shows up with a warrant for their arrest, McFadden can refuse to go out and arrest these guys. And it's just a new career path for him.
Oh, that's wonderful, isn't it? That's a great idea, James. I appreciate your call. Obviously, James being facetious there. Roger in Gastonia, good morning.
Good morning, sir. Well, I just wanted to mention, I've had a solution for this illegal immigration problem for a long time. And I took it from the Eisenhower administration. And basically, all we need to do, but it'll never happen because the super rich are the ones behind most of this. They're the ones providing the money to the Democrats and Republicans who don't want to use the campaign cash. And therefore, they're not doing anything about illegal immigration. But that all aside, if we really had a Congress that was on our side, basically they could empower the basic police group, go out and go to employers, and they go and investigate everybody that's employed. And if they find any illegal immigrant, charge that employer $100,000 a head.
Wow.
And that $100,000, $50,000 goes to the state, $50,000 goes to the federal government, but also that we'd have to pass the law that if we go in, if the company didn't have enough assets to cover it in their bank account, that they could go into the CEO and also the board of directors' pockets.
Unfortunately, we lost the rest of that. You were talking about basically raiding businesses and finding out if there are illegals on the property, charging $100,000 a head. My goodness. Boy, can you imagine how quickly illegal immigration would dry up? That would be very, very quick. In Monroe, let's go out to Bill. Good morning.
Hello, Vince. How are you doing today?
All right, sir.
I think that Biden's doing a great job.
Okay.
I think he's doing a great job because if the Spanish people are criminals, then they hook up with the black folk, then they kill everybody.
Wow. You actually think that's a wonderful idea?
I think it's great.
Oh, boy. Bill, thank you for your call, I think. Let's just move on to Rock Hill and C, I believe it is. Good morning.
Hello, Vince. I really do enjoy your show. That last caller, we'll just call him Kill Bill. So, one of the earlier callers, she mentioned something about one of the illegal aliens raping a 12-year-old. So, this is one of my concerns. Okay, I used to be a former Democrat. I'm neither a Republican nor Democrat now. But I do see that now, after being spoon-fed what I should believe in over the course of my lifetime, you're finding more and more African-Americans, particularly swaying towards candidates that are working in their interest, and that is a good thing. So one of the things that I've noticed with the illegal aliens is that they're not privy to the same laws that we have to follow. So it's a normal act for their culture, number one, mainly the Mexicans, to impregnate young 11, 12, and 13-year-old females. And this is not even brought to task. They're creating a whole population of other anchor babies that they're bringing here to the United States, or being born into the United States. And then you have these other individuals who are not privy to the same laws that we have to follow, simply because we're not having an influx of sanctuary cities that are not turning these individuals in. So, I mean, I don't know what Bill's intent was, but I don't know if he means to state that, okay, we're going to allow the illegal aliens to come in because the majority of them are killing other African-Americans. I mean, what does he mean?
Well, I think the idea behind this is he's thinking the lawlessness will be so profound in the Hispanic and black communities that we'll just all kill ourselves. And I think he thinks that's a wonderful idea. I think that's a good idea at all. See, we appreciate your call. Stay on the line. I'd like to get some info from you because I'd like to find out more about your journey away from the Democrat Party and, frankly, from both parties. Stay with us.
And I remember we would listen to WB.
Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, earlier in the week we talked about the 737 MAX and the fact that there are ongoing questions about the safety of these airplanes. And for several days, here in the United States of America, there's been a resistance to taking these planes and grounding them. Well, that has changed yesterday. They're now grounded. All Boeing 737 MAX jets after that deadly crash in Ethiopia. President Trump announcing the FAA had ordered U.S. Airlines to remove this jet from service temporarily. No end date set. It's already been banned from dozens of other countries. The FAA saying this decision based on new information about the crash of Ethiopian Airlines Boeing 737 MAX on Sunday that killed 157 people. The jet's black boxes, flight data, cockpit voice recorders arrived in Paris overnight for examination. And what's happened now, the FAA decision was made. 72 MAX planes flown by Southwest, American, and United were told to stay put at the airport or where they were flying into. All three carriers scrambled to make up the roughly 280 flights a day that were previously handled. I think we told you yesterday that the 737 MAX 8 does not fly out of Charlotte. And I think it's pretty safe to say I don't believe it flies out of Greenville either. One passenger, Priscilla Trimmie, saying this, "I'm just relieved we're on the ground," after she touched down in Phoenix on a Southwest Airlines flight Wednesday. Her flight from Houston took off just minutes before this decision was made to ground the planes. The president saying the safety of the American people and all people is our paramount concern. So that is a new development in this situation. A captain posted this on social media. "Political pressure has grounded 371 737 MAX 8s. Overreacting? Depends on the pilot training programs implemented. The 737 MAX 8 crashes will turn out to have been avoidable if the fly-by-wire software contributed to losses of control. The foreign pilots in both cases should still be sufficiently trained and practiced to fly manually if required. Bless all involved." And that seems to be the message that was communicated on this program, I believe on Monday, when we had Greg Feith, who's formerly with the NTSB. That was what he was communicating, that these planes, no matter what the circumstances are with the automation, if you are simply flying the plane manually, he seemed to have a high degree of confidence that whatever the situation is can be handled. I'd love to get your thoughts. If you're planning to travel, if you're planning to fly, are you looking to see what kind of plane is involved in your air travel? And are you relieved that these planes are now grounded? The United States among the last countries to take this step. And we mentioned several hundred, 275 flights a day canceled. They're going to have to figure out how to get these passengers where they need to go. It's not like you've got spare airplanes you can just put right back into service. So this certainly presents a hardship for the airlines as they try to figure this out. I mentioned as well, I've got a good friend who is in the middle of, he's actually going to be starting 737 MAX 8 training here in a couple of weeks. Let us go to a call from Ken in Anderson. Good morning.
Morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I've got you.
Okay. I wanted to make a couple of different comments about the immigration. First of all, I used to work at a Greyhound locally, and at least three or four times a week, we would have Hispanics come in having to use the children as interpreters to buy tickets to transfer to Arizona, Texas, wherever, mainly Arizona, to provide transportation for people that immigrations had picked up in the, out in the desert areas or whatever, and was releasing to people here. You know, and only requirement was is they had to provide a ticket for them to come get them, you know, to send them on their way. They did provide them some kind of ID number, you know, where they registered into some kind of database. But here in Greenville, and I'm from Anderson, and I've got to travel through Greenville quite a bit, the Berea section is probably about 85%, from what I can see, is probably about 85% Hispanic now. And I just wonder, you know, how many of them came that way? You know, another little comment is a couple of years ago, there was a YouTube video going around where a guy goes up to a Home Depot with his pickup and says, "Hey, y'all, let's hop on in." And he gets a whole pickup full of immigrant workers, illegal workers. He goes about two blocks down the street and pulls into the INS office, and they all jump out and start running.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So it's not like they can't find them. You know, they're that close to them.
That is pretty amazing.
Also, I want to thank you. I just stumbled onto your program maybe about a month ago. And at that time, you were saying something not favorable toward Bush, not Bush, to Trump. And I'm a Trump supporter. I make no bones about it. I have a lot of comments at work. But anyway, I got slightly offended. I said, I'm going to listen to us. Well, the next breath, you're talking about a Democrat, right? But you're not in favor of that person. And I said, what's going on with this guy? He can't make up his mind. And since that time, you know, I've listened to you quite a bit. And I got to thank you for your even-handedness on both sides of the party, complimenting people on both sides and being critical of people on both sides, different and willing to accept other people's insights and opinions. That's a very hard thing to do, and you do it very well.
Well, thank you. I consider that a high compliment that you've offered here, Ken, and I absolutely appreciate your call out of Anderson this morning. And I would just remind those of you who may be listening, new listening to this program, we have an open that kind of explains this. You know, I'm committed to values and principles and ideas. I am not committed to personalities. Not a single one. We don't do cheerleading here. We don't have pom-poms. And along the way, that ticks some people off. Because some people want a non-stop infusion of orange Kool-Aid. We don't do it here. And I don't care who it is. 2020, 2024. If I'm still here, or anywhere for that matter, I don't anticipate ever drinking anybody's Kool-Aid. Just that simple. We talk about the truth here, our values, our principles, and we cling to those. But you are welcome to join us. Coming up, we'll take a look at the day in history and talk about the latest man to throw in his hat to run for president. I don't get it. He's white and a man. What's wrong with this guy? Back on the Vince Coakley radio program. Vince, does this thing with a 737 remind you of Atlas Shrugged? Yes, it does, in a way. That was about a train, wasn't it? Weren't there a large number of UN representatives on that Ethiopian Airlines crash? Isn't that worth looking into? Yes, they were, I think, part of a mission involved in some sort of humanitarian work, I believe. Texter saying it was wise for the planes to be grounded. I think other countries perhaps do not have the same standards of safety as the U.S. does. I'm certain the U.S. planes will not be grounded for a long time. Premature panic when the pilots are scared. I'm scared. I've always been leery of Airbus, but if you're going to fly, you got very few manufacturing choices. The MAX 8, one of the most sophisticated birds in the air. Pilot error will be the determination. I flew F-4s in the Corps. Old school. We were strapped on top of twin J-79 GE turbines with 18K thrust each. Trust me, flying Mach 2 is a religious experience. I'll bet it was, Dave. That is just, cannot imagine the rush from that experience. Henry, good morning.
Good morning, Vince. I love your show.
Thank you.
I as a comment from the previous caller, I seem to think that I've heard that term before. You look at, you're not drinking the Kool-Aid. I think one of our heroes once said it was the content of the man's character that mattered.
Yes.
Yes. And as far as Atlas Shrugged, where is our Rourke today, right?
Who would that person be?
Exactly. So we plan on flying next week, actually, out to enemy territory, out to California. And I don't know what jet we're going to fly on. It really doesn't matter unless they cancel our flight. Then it matters. But assuming our flight is a go, I'm going to get on whatever aircraft we're going to get on, because a lot of our pilots these days, A, have, you know, a lot of experience, and B, they're trained well, and C, many of them are prior military.
Yes.
I don't have, and I'm prior military, and I have no fear whatsoever getting on an aircraft in the United States. And I, like many others, believe that it was pilot error, especially when that plane can be actually flown. So that tells me that those pilots really do not understand the concept of flying an aircraft.
Okay. I certainly appreciate and respect your opinion there, Henry. Good to hear from you. Let's go next to John, also wanting to weigh in on this out of Gaston. Good morning.
Yes, I love the fact that you mentioned Atlas Shrugged, so I'm going to say I am John Galt. Have a good day.
You're John Galt. Let's take a look at the day in history. A number of items here as we go down I-85 to our upstate studio. And Lonzo, very eagerly awaiting the opportunity to answer questions. How are you this morning?
Yeah, that's me. I'm eager.
Yes. Let's start in 1900, Mr. Eager. The U.S. currency went on this standard in 1900. What was it?
Gold.
You are correct. 1950.
What, is it over? Did I win the showcase?
Yes. 1950. The FBI started this list. What is it? 1950.
Most wanted.
You are correct there. 1958, Recording Industry awards the first gold record to this song from Perry Como. What was it?
You're asking me somewhere across the sea or something.
No. Any more guesses in here, Charles?
I heard you, but I forgot it.
It's actually, a Blanco Plumo. A Plumo Blanco?
When you wish
that was Slim Whitman.
Oh, darn it.
When You Wish Upon a Star is the answer.
So Slim Pickens, what?
No. Okay. 1964.
Totally different guy.
This person found guilty of killing Kennedy's killer, Lee Harvey Oswald. Who was it? 1964. Who
Sir
was
Hand,
it?
Sir Hand.
Not quite. Who
Jack,
was it?
Jack Ruby.
Jack Ruby is
oh, yeah,
the name.
There was a horrible movie about that.
Speaking of such, 1967. This president's body moved from a temporary grave to the permanent one at Arlington National Cemetery. 1967.
Kennedy?
Yes, you're correct. JFK's body. We'll give you a bonus question. This comedian and actor turned 71 today. The first time I remember him was in a show called Soap. Who is it?
Wow, there were a lot of people on Soap. Was he young or old? Well,
young.
Young.
Very young. And he had kind of a breakthrough role, because I think it was probably one of the first roles of its type for this particular, for anything.
So he was one of the gay dudes on
Yes.
Soap. But I was a little kid and I wasn't allowed to watch it.
Oh, he looked marvelous.
Do you know who it is, though?
No, I don't.
Billy Crystal.
Oh, okay.
It was Billy Crystal. And you had another one. What was, Charles, what was it that's also significant about this day?
Today, the very first shopping cart was put in use.
Shopping cart?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, and all of us who used to work at grocery stores hate them dearly.
Yes.
Hey, is that the worst job in the world, to go and collect all the shopping carts?
Especially in Ohio in the middle of winter.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, you try pushing a shopping cart through snow. It's not easy.
It is a problem. By the way, have you seen some of these stores, the way they've set up these monitors now, that if you get these things on the edge of their property, they will actually stop moving? The carts will not roll.
How? Okay.
Because
it'd be
people steal
those
things.
Stuns people. That would be awesome.
Hey, that could be your first million. Why don't you figure out a way to cause these carts to shock people? You know, they're no. Then again, that's lawsuits.
I would do it, but I can't get them out of the parking lot.
My goodness. All right, time is up. Have yourselves a great day, and God bless you. Take care.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.